Are we ready?
Yes.
Blacks are just as culpable as Jews in their repeated subservient victim role, and now they're being manipulated into hating their former allies, the Jews, by agent provocateurs. The Jews react, and we have instant mayhem in the good old USA, New York City rather than Munich. The fact that both black icons, King and X, were done in by the controllers of the government that sponsors their current crop of Judas goats and agent provocateurs, just as they did Elijah Muhammad and other messengers of deception and disunity, and only killed Malcolm when he sought rapprochement, and unity with whites escapes virtually all blacks, just as the etiology of the last Holocaust escapes conveniently the consciousness of those intellectually self-righteous Jews. Israel could only have been brought into existence with the support of the forces behind the New World Order. The Zionist movement required international support to establish and maintain itself, surrounded as it was by well-armed and hostile neighbors. It has served the purpose of the oil cartel as well as Arab authoritarian governments controlled and supported by that cartel. This cartel, with roots in England and the United States, needed a fulcrum in a strategically vital part of the world. It has also divided American Jews from their own sovereign nation, the United States of America, by setting up a situation that called for dual loyalty, an untenable position. American Jews could have provided an intellectual bulwark of opposition to the forces that engineered the Holocaust and have made world government a fait accompli at the expense of a viable national sovereignty here in the United States. But they have been fragmented and distracted in the Israeli morass that will continue interminably. By the way, the devout Jews of Israel are busy loving the same God as you, my friend. The result is anything but peace and harmony. Catholics, Protestants, Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists et al. Are no less culpable, since the USA is primarily a Christian country with mounting and massive problems created and maintained by a ruthless, self-interested elite that uses business as a system of power. The churches, their clergymen, and especially their willing and violent sheep, the millions of self-servingly devout parishioners who congratulate themselves for attending and supporting their churches, deserve special credit for trashing America through their special all-American brand of stupidity and irresponsibility. Reports of alien abductions, ETs, UFOs, cattle mutilizations, and crop circles are either created by the government or repressed by the government. Either way, it's unconscionable. If we are being threatened by a superior race of beings, or, as reported in unofficial circles that study such matters, several different species, then it is incumbent on our government to let us in on it. On the other hand, if, like some other observers believe, it's a mind control ploy, that's even worse. One way or the other, the government and the press have exhausted any semblance of credibility, and therefore nothing they say and report on can be believed with even a modicum of confidence. We are all in the dark, pitch black dark, which is where we were even before ETs moved into world consciousness. The probability of an official spin on this most significant of all events in human history is almost certain. John Mack, M-A-C-K, M-D, the establishment-connected Harvard psychiatrist, has received much press coverage, including a cover story in the Boston Globe magazine last year, the Sunday Globe magazine, an appendage of establishment media. It's owned by the New York Times. He claims to be treating over 30 alien abductees on a weekly basis at a secret Brookline, Massachusetts therapy office. That's Boston. He gave a public lecture at a New Age Education, in quotes, center called Interface last April in Cambridge, where he shared the podium with the most loquacious patient who acts poetic about the spiritual transformation and the feelings of love he had for his tormentors. Mac told this interviewer that he was in touch with the Rockefeller brothers, who were very concerned with his activities. Interface is now curiously housed in space leased from the main tenant, Apt ABT Associates, a major government contractor in the field of social psychology research. Talks of deals and treaties with aliens who not only like to eat us, but also like to F us before eating us abound in alien research circles. CIA operatives like John Lear, scion of the Lear Jet family, repeatedly claims to either have been or known witnesses to technology exchanges and joint underground bases that have been established since since World War II, with underground tunnels of immense size honeycombing the entire country? Whether disinformation, misinformation, spin, or truth, these reports and the substantial people involved with their telling are certainly newsworthy, but are curiously downplayed or ignored in the mass media, or dismissed by most citizens as hogwash. Even as hogwash, they're of great importance. These are only a few highlights of the problems that have currently been supplied as for our growth processes. According to your current thought, are we to throw up our hands in frustration and simply love God? I haven't gotten into satanic ritual abuse, government intelligence involvement in it, growing homelessness, natural and manufactured natural disasters of climate and seismic activity, to name a few more. I only know one thing that I'm sure of, and that is that I'm dependent on the health of my society, and it's not at all well. The most important thought that guides me is the observation and injunction of a man I respect and consider great, C. Wright Mills, the Columbia University-based sociologist whose life was short but meaningful. And parenthetically, I heard this man being invoked by, of all people, Gore Vidal, who I can't stand, last night on KPFK. Quote, "If you do not specify and confront real issues, what you say will surely obscure them. If you do not alarm anyone morally, you yourself remain morally asleep. If you do not embody controversy, what you say will be an acceptance of the drift to the coming human hell." C. Wright Mills, 1916 to 1962. Yes, he was only 46 years old, American sociologist. It has been said that it is worthwhile to spend time learning about the deeds of great men, and Mills was certainly a member of this category. By the way, his books are still in print, Oxford University Press. It's not a conspiracy. It's all out there for anybody who wants to read them. Get The Power Elite. Read it. My God, it's in every library, just like 1984. Cloning and genetically engineered life forms are now realities that are released and publicized. But if these mind-boggling developments are now common knowledge, what's held in secret? What horrors are being held closer to the vest? If power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and our controllers have had absolute power for as long as I can remember with our blessings, what's next? And are we as powerless as we are led to believe? I think not, because we are encouraged to believe in our own irreversible disempowerment. Even if the majority of us are content to occupy our time with home shopping and endless sporting events and entertainments, some of us still have the will and ability to resist. Perhaps mutual support and just the act of knowing is empowering in itself and effective and in some effective in some spiritual way. Certainly Mills is right. But our drift to the coming human hell is true, too. And for many of us, in increasingly larger numbers, hell has already arrived. The way I read things, just from observing my own intimacies and intimates, our society is, in all its horror, a true reflection of the character of its members. I know my family and myself better than anyone else's. And don't get me wrong, I don't think the Bible is worthless. On the contrary, I've found profound wisdom and injunctions in it. It's certainly one of the most valuable and remarkable pastiches of all time. In what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, the book of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, Jesus exhorts his listeners to judge not, that ye not be judged, which I judge as propaganda. God created our faculty of judgment, and it was meant to be used. But in the following line, "And why behold the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye?" My judgment leads me to interpret this as the need to examine ourselves and those closest to ourselves, our family, loved ones, and associates. For it is here that our society, at least for us, begins. I don't know about you, but my family cannot stand a close examination for either responsibility or morality, much less unity. And that goes for everybody in it, including myself. I'm fairly certain that my family is generally representative of the rest, and subsequently I'm led to believe the ugliness we are increasingly faced with emanates from ourselves in the final analysis, as our society is inevitably an extension of us all. Certainly here in the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Like the carnage in Central America that's been in our collective consciousness here in the United States for decades, with the occasional assistance of Hollywood, for example, the motion picture Missing, the horrors of Sarajevo grind on, impinging on our fond memories of this former Winter Olympic site as brought into our homes in recent memory by the miracle of television. Does anyone ever mention, much less discuss, where the participants are getting the money to have a war? What taxable industries are providing the funds to field an army for years? In Yugoslavia? one that's that's expensively equipped with the latest armaments? When the U.S. Justice Department, a la Jonestown, was murdering the Branch Davidians in Waco, a wake-up call to all of us a few months ago after tormenting them for weeks while we all watched, I viewed the commentary of a new rising journalism star, Vicky Mabry, who follows in the footsteps of her predecessors, Murrow, Cronkite, and Rather, in telling it like they want it heard. Certainly the God that I respect will reserve the hottest places in hell for these information heroes. Now for that, I'll love him, or her, or it. In the meanwhile, I'll remain at my post as an alternative journalist, an extension of my first assignment as Troop Scribe, Boy Scout Troop 728, Good Shepherd Roman Catholic Church, Manhattan Council, New York City, the first and probably the only Jewish scribe of a Catholic Boy Scout troop. I'll stay with it as long as I have any support, for I can't think of anything else that I'm suited to do that's at all appropriate under the circumstances. I think it's what God wants me to do rather than spend my time loving him. Perhaps in your terms, it's my way of loving him and seeking his approval, God the Father, that is. We're all weakened, and this is also well documented, by food tainted with hormones and pesticides, water laced with poisonous chlorine, fluoride, and a host of other debilitating substances, i.e. heavy metals like mercury, even put into our teeth, radiation, lead, still put in gasoline in many forward-thinking states like Oregon. Can all this be just coincidence or purposive, like putting saltpeter into the food of soldiers to lower their sexual desire? Perhaps the most destructive corruption is that of salt, which we need for life. Refined, demineralized table salt is probably responsible for more death and disease than any substance. It also contributes to our lack of judgment and willingness to be led by criminals. The man who worked to expose this crime and offered the public a vital natural salt recently had an untimely demise. I believe it's reasonable to suspect foul play in the passing of Dr. Jacques Delangre, biologist and humanitarian extraordinaire. It's been said that ignorance is not innocence but sin. That sentiment is amply borne out by the blatant, obvious, and repeated criminality that affects us all, but that is ignored by almost all, e.g., the priest who knew what that Father Porter was doing all along but went along with it. Does going along to get along make us collaborators and accessories? The answer is painful but obvious and has been observed thusly by the brilliant Aldous Huxley. We protect our minds by an elaborate system of abstractions, ambiguities, metaphors, and similes from the reality we do not wish to know too clearly. We lie to ourselves in order that we may still have the excuse of ignorance, the alibi of stupidity and incomprehension, possessing which we can continue with a good conscience to commit and tolerate the most monstrous crimes. Unquote. So we're worse than a nation of meatheads. We're a nation of criminals as either perpetrators or accessories. And believe me, the center of it is both in New York, Boston, and especially the media center of the world, good old La La Land, right here.
Hollywood?
Yeah, Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Hollywood. Yes, Hollywood. That does not sit well with my God, and that's why bad things happen to good people. I've been in touch recently with many friends from my childhood relationships that span a half century. At this point, I'm sure most of them think I'm deranged at best, but I'm hoping to reach them by hammering away. The Longhorns, the name of our neighborhood sandlot football team of the 50s, could be a key to our present morass. Wish me luck. I look forward to your reply, but my hopes are very, very slim and getting slimmer all the time. I plan to publish this postscript for further distribution. I hope you don't mind. Thank you very much, David Porter. Thank you very much, Bill Mitchell.
Well, thank you very much, Lud Ahrens.
Let me point out I'm an atheist.
Well, you're in good company. I mean, God doesn't do our will, and we don't know what his is. So maybe it's just something man made up to control man. That's my childhood experience,
you know,
on that one.
You know, will is a Shakespearean euphemism for part of a man's anatomy.
Will is?
Will.
You mean Willie, yes, yeah. Right.
Yeah. It goes back about 500 years.
Yeah, like Wee Willie. Well, you
speak
know...
Speak for yourself, Bill.
making no false claims one way or the other. I have a small audience that can testify, but
just
I'm mute
the
on the question.
In the bar.
But, Lud, you had an interesting phrase there where you mentioned that this is the land of the brave and home of the free, and I sort of submit it's neither... or you wouldn't have this attitude that the time is kind of running out, because those of us that got sensitized in the 60s are getting up there in our chronological existence, and these young kids aren't finding out much. They're becoming, at best, one-issue people. They know something about an ozone layer and that, but they couldn't and don't seem to have an interest to be proficient on 100 issues, more or less a dozen. Yes.
Thank you very much. I'm very, very glad you said that, Bill, because I'd like to direct this reference to know-nothingism. You know, I revere Jack Kennedy. I thought he was a marvelous person. I felt that he was especially chosen for the kind of fate that he had, basically to fragment our society. It was most definitely a transparent conspiracy, purposefully. But Courtney Kennedy Hill, who should know better, the daughter of Robert Kennedy, who was murdered here just a few years ago at the Ambassador Hotel, right down the pike here on Wilshire Boulevard, was on 60 Minutes last Sunday with her husband, an Irish a gentleman who had been imprisoned.
Well, from the IRA, I believe.
He had been imprisoned wrongfully, imprisoned for 15 years.
Wow.
And she was so pleased to announce the fact that he was beginning to overcome his problems. In fact, her mother had introduced her to him. And the thought occurred to me that Sirhan Sirhan, who has still been in jail now for 26 years for the wrongful murder of our father, he never killed Robert F. Kennedy.
No,
it's known. It's even in general distribution. Ted Chirac's movie is distributed to all the video stores. The Plot to Kill Robert Kennedy. People can rent it. It's ridiculous. She could rent it herself. Courtney, go rent The Plot to Kill Robert Kennedy from any video store, and you should be ashamed of yourself for not knowing this after all these years.
Right. Well, as you said before in conversations we've had on the phone, that the whole Kennedy family is well aware what happened to John and Robert. In fact, Jackie told Robert Kennedy when he decided to run for president in 68, she says, "Oh, Bobby, Bobby, they'll just blow your head off like they did Jack." So they do know the lay of the land.
Well,
So, like you were saying about family, we all have weak members of our own families.
I'm sorry, I don't want to be judgmental about the Kennedy family, because there are other factors that come into the game here. There's definite evidence that the whole family has been threatened into silence, and it's very possible that many of the children don't know what actually happened. And
most of them are grown up and professional people. John ought to have it together. He's a lawyer now. He's a big boy.
Well,
I guess he's 30 years old, and Carolyn's written a book on the Bill of Rights. I think they've come of age, and they might as well face the music.
But I, quite honestly, I don't want to be too judgmental of any of them at this point.
That's why bad things happen to good people.
True, I agree. Quite honestly, unless they were actually being threatened to remain in public life, they would, which is a possibility. It could very well be that they are being threatened to remain in public life.
They're hoping, I guess, that they can turn it over somewhere down the line.
They would all do better to completely remove themselves from the situation. It would clear things up
as a tactical necessity, but that invalidates those like us who bemoan this thing as where the country was clamped down on and forevermore. It's almost going to take a revolution to clean up what's come down.
No, it's not going to come down, and there won't be a revolution, and that was never a coup d'etat. It was Kennedy who was the anomaly. He's the guy that got in by accident, and he shouldn't have gotten in. And the thing had always been run as a closed shop all these years, and all of a sudden there was this guy that came on the scene, and he seemed like a fellow that they could manipulate, and they found out that they couldn't manipulate him. And not only did they whack him, they sunk two balls with one stroke. They whacked this guy, and they whacked the country at the same time to set him up for the New World Order. So it's a completely fragmented situation. Everybody's scared to death.
And as I said, they crossed the point of no return, and once they went that far, they'll do anything.
But let's get to my point in being here altogether.
Right, let's do that.
There is a point. We're all stuck with a situation where we've bought into a society, and in essence, by being a part of it, we're like the monkey that has his his fist caught in the jar because he's grasping a goodie inside the jar and he can't pull it out. And that, in essence, is the way we all are right now. We're all hooked into this, into the grid, so to speak. We love our society. We love, I mean, we love the goodie, the good part of it. We like the food situation. We like the shelter situation. We like the job situation. And that's the key.
Opiates of the masses, bread circuses, and titillation.
And that I can completely agree with. But I think the time has come to start thinking about cooperative living where people have to start depending on each other, a tribal situation. And I, for one, would very, very much like to, and I have wanted to do this for years, to become involved in an alternative community outside of the main urban area. The main urban areas and out into a cleaner atmosphere, and perhaps make our living producing important information for the very, very, very few people who are interested in it and can appreciate it. By the way, there are very, very few people who are really interested in hard information in this world. There's very, very few people who are interested in doing anything about it. I've been on this path now for 15 years, and it's really pitiful. I think in Boston there were about less than 20 people that we could possibly have met, and we met five of them. And of the five of them that we met in a period of 10 years, not too much has come of it. In Los Angeles, let's say that out of a potential audience of maybe 5 or 10 million people, I think you'd be lucky to come up with 50 people. So I would like to meet 50 of these people, but if I could only meet 5 or 10 of them, that's what I would like as far as your call-ins for people to suggest a place to meet.
Okay.
And, let's
the problem is we got less than 5 minutes on the clock for all these phone calls. We can take a few as we go off the air. So what I better do, is give out my boat phone number, which is area code 310-578-6812. And just call and leave a message, because I'm not there to answer it right now, but I have an answering machine there, and then I'll clear the machine and I'll take down the numbers, and Lud and I, depending if you say this is a message for Bill or Lud or both of us, and we'll go through these calls, and we'll contact you this weekend. What I have in mind, since we don't have a meeting place and don't know which of the 5 or 50 of you would like to come down and meet with Lud, is that I could probably work this out on the phone by the people who call in and are serious, but otherwise, I'll be down on the beach not only this afternoon, but tomorrow afternoon in Venice, where I used to give my extemporaneous speeches standing on the top of a bench for years. And although I've stopped doing it, one day I asked how many people here speak English. They're all 50 people looking at me. About 5 hands went up.
And you'll have a model of Noah's Ark with you, what we were talking about at the beginning of the program.
So my point is, I felt that this wasn't effective, this talk on the bench, but I'll be down there today and tomorrow, and it's one block south of Rose Street in Venice, about at Dudley, and there's a bench there about, it's at the 400 block of Oceanfront Walk in Venice from noon today through sunset, and we hang out at a little cafe there called the Croissant, you know, we sit around and watch the sunset and talk politics, and it's rather congenial, and please come down, and if there's enough of us, get serious. We can walk 20 feet out into the sand and sit down and have an uninterrupted discussion both today and tomorrow. So please call me. Again, area code 310-578-6812, and I'll take this call. And good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to I enjoyed your speaker just now very much. He says everything that needs to be said. But I also like Gore Vidal. I heard him say that he didn't like Gore. What doesn't he like about him?
Thank you. I think it's a very intelligent question. I think Gore Vidal doesn't tell the whole story. Gore Vidal doesn't address AIDS. He doesn't address any of the hard issues. He's basically part of the process. He encourages people to remain in the American political process, which is a dead issue. And as far as I'm concerned, he's about in the same category as Noam Chomsky, who he himself last night said that he was likened to.
All right. He's like an elite cynic. One more? No, no more. Well, we're out of time again. You can reach Lud, R.I., through my phone, 578-6812. And that's area code 310 on the beach this weekend. If you change your mind and call later, I'll refer the messages to Lud. He's a guest at a friend's house and doesn't want to give out that number. And he's from the East Coast, and he's been out here for a while. His product is... really educational. I'm sorry I haven't listened to more tapes, but this is, as you can tell, is a seminal producer of information. It's hard, and the idea is this man believes in radio because it's a chance for people to close their eyes and concentrate and learn something. So what he's done, he's taken what he considers, like C. Wright Mills, the most important stuff, and put it on audio tape for you, so while you're stuck on the freeway or you're insomniac at home, you can listen to this stuff and it will ripen your mind. And it's a great resource library. It sure beats just another music tape laying on the floor of your car. Yes, Lud.
And I think it's time to create the ARC community, because the ARC is a place of refuge. It's a place of safety. It's a place where precious things are preserved.
Oh, a refuge from the Holocaust, as it was the great flood in time past. Well, I think the music got to go.
I got one announcement. Next week is Bob, and in 2 weeks I'll be doing a program with Steve Probst of early rock and roll and rhythm and blues. So listen for that in 2 weeks.
Wow. Well,
this
thank
is
you again,
Genesis
David.
Of a Music with David Porter and Bill Mitchell and Lud Ahrens.
And I'll be back on April the 1st and May, well, whatever it is, the first Saturdays hereafter. And thank all of you on the marathon. We did good, but I thank those of you who subscribe during other programming, because it all comes out to being the same thing. You provided Lud and Bill Mitchell and hundreds like us and yourselves who've called in to be on the air. So thank all of you, and I'll see you next month, or you'll at least hear me. Bye-bye.